We're really glad to have Brother Shane West with us. And we still have some more of these posters. If you have some place you'd like to put them, get permission from a store manager or go to a barber shop or a beauty shop or a laundromat. These are all good places to put these and put the schedule on. Now you can just put Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night and give the time. Might want to put the church phone number and the address. We have a few of them left. And his wife's very good looking. I can't say much about Brother West, except we're glad to have him here. Amen. Glad to have us. Good to have his fellowship, isn't it? Everybody say, God bless Brother West. And you can take this mic, anything you want, brother.
Let's give the Lord a good hand clap of praise here tonight. Come on, somebody make some Holy Ghost noise in this house. Jesus, we love you. We praise you. Mighty God, mighty God, mighty God. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Amen. God bless you tonight. We greet you in the name which is above every name, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. No name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved but by that name. Amen. There's just something about that name tonight. Amen. All power, amen, is associated in that name. We greet you in Jesus' name. Want to honor your good man of God and the ministry here, amen, at Norwich Tabernacle here in this great state. We are excited to be here, and this good man of God has just made a tremendous amount of points with Sister West talking about how good looking she is, because I believe her and the boys are at home tonight, amen, watching this service. So the pastor made some awesome points with my wife tonight. Amen. And it's so good to be here. Coming all the way from Clarksville, Tennessee, where the Lord has allowed me to launch, amen, with the help of the Lord, the Church of Champions. And so y'all pray for us in Clarksville. We launched this new project. Amen, this new work, this new church, September 26th, and we've had a glorious time in the Lord. We've had people receive a glorious experience in God. Baptized a man just a few nights ago, and they assured to me that they had put the heater on in the water, and when I got down in the water, there was no heater flowing. It felt like ice. So the man that I was baptizing, Brother John, he thought that I was just joking with him when I acted a little chilled. And but soon he realized, amen, I wasn't joking. And we got down there. And you know, one thing I did get a revelation of, amen, is when Brother West baptizes you, if you're a man, amen, about my size, we don't have to put much water in that baptistry. Praise God. I was afraid it was going to overflow. Amen. And we baptized him in the name of the Lord for the remission of sins. Praise God. And got a friend of mine that I contacted today. And I know that this broadcast is going out to thousands of people. And anybody in Central California, amen, that's watching this broadcast, I've got a good friend out there that with the help of the Lord, we've seen over 500 people baptized in the name of the Lord in recent months. And amen. Fresno, California. Good friend of mine, Pastor Keith Walker at the World Harvest Pentecostal Church. Amen. And I just believe in reaching souls and people that need this glorious gospel. Amen. It's a glorious gospel. Can I get a witness here tonight?
Yes,
amen. And pray for the Church of Champions. You can visit us online at churchofchampions.com. And I'm just excited about what the Lord is going to do for us in the coming year. I want to read to you the word of the Lord found in the book of Isaiah. Settling down, I have been able to preach a couple of series. And I've never done this in a revival, but I want to launch this night as the first night of a of a series here that I'm going to do my best to preach and obey the Lord in ministering to each and every one of you and those listening by the way of this broadcast. And I pray that this will bless each and every one of you tonight. In the divine library of God, Isaiah chapter number 6, beginning in verse number 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne. He was high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. One cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am unclean, because I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the house, I dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one flew of the seraphims over unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is now taken away, and thy sin purged. And I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here I am, send me. Here I am, send me. Taking my text this evening from verse number 1 here, in the year. Somebody say, in the year. Say that with me again. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord also.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I'd like to preach a little series while I'm here with you. I don't know how many nights this will go, but I want to talk about turning your minuses into pluses. Turning your minuses into pluses. Amen. And this first night I want to talk about when Uzziah dies. Amen. Let's lay our Bibles down and lift those hands towards heaven. Would you pray with me one more time? Church family, let's pray and seek the Lord and pray God's blessings. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your word. Your word is already anointed. For the next little while, God, anoint my lips to preach. Hide me behind Calvary's cross. The crimson blood, God, let it do a work here tonight. Somebody help me right now. Oh, God, your word is anointed. Touch those that are listening tonight. Touch those that are going to watch this broadcast in the future. Oh, Jesus, do the work here. Everybody say it in Jesus' name. You may be seated. God bless you for standing. Thank you for standing in honor to the word of the Lord. Amen. Turning your minuses into pluses. Amen. This first part of this series, I want to talk about when Uzziah dies. We read here in the word of the Lord about a king that had died. In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah the prophet is recorded as penning the words. Amen. Uzziah, many of you may know and some may not know, but Uzziah was a man that was a highly favored man, a man that had God's favor and ability given to him. Amen. For the word of God tells us in the book of Chronicles, in 2 Chronicles, will record, amen, the events of Uzziah, the inventions of this man, the leadership and the ability and the God-given authority of Uzziah. Amen. He was an awesome man of leadership. He was an awesome, amen, man of invention. Amen. Had several thousand men under his leadership. But something very bad happened to Uzziah. Amen. Pastor, the word of God tells us, amen, that Uzziah, he went into the temple, Brother John, to burn incense. Apparently, he thought that there was something in the church house that he could do better than the preacher. Lord, I feel like preaching here tonight. I want to say right now, we need to be careful, amen, not to overstep our boundaries and not to overstep our chain of command and God's headship, amen. If we're in alignment with God and the man of God and ministry, God will work for the church and will work for His people. Can I get a witness here tonight? Oh, you heard me, but you ain't listening. Praise God. And the Bible said that in the house of the Lord, amen, God sent the ministry to withstand and to withstand Uzziah's action. It wasn't a preacher or preachers that wanted to go pick a fight with this man. It was not the preachers that wanted to go and withstand this man. But God sent the ministry, amen, to withstand this man because he got out of line. He got out of order, if you please. And the Word of God said, Brother John, that in the temple of the Lord, amen, this man got offended. He got his feelings hurt. He got bitter, if you please. And the Word of God tells us very plainly, Pastor, that leprosy rose up in the forehead of Uzziah. Amen. Something happened. Something bad happened. He got hurt in the house of the Lord. He got wounded in the house of God. And we heard the testimony tonight, and I feel like preaching up in this house. We heard the testimony tonight about being wounded in the house of the Lord, and even the scripture says and makes mention and makes note about being wounded in the house of a friend. Amen. Uzziah got hurt in church. And oh, it's a dangerous thing when we get hurt in church. You see, coming off the streets of Fresno, can I get a witness here tonight? Can somebody go ahead and talk back to me around here? Oh, I feel that wheel in the middle of the wheel. Amen. Coming off the streets of Fresno, California, I look to get hurt, amen, from the crackheads and the crack dealers on the west side of Fresno. I expected to get hustled. I expected to get talked about. I expected to get lied to. But when I got the Lord working in my life, and oh, what a beautiful day that was when I repented of my sins and held my head up and squared my shoulders back and went into the house of the Lord. Amen. What a wonderful day. But you see, I went in there, amen, unexpectedly. I went in there not knowing that I could get hurt. Amen. A lot of times we live in a make-believe world, in a make-believe church. Amen. I want you to know, if you're going to live for God for any amount of time, you will get hurt in the house of God. Oh yeah, if you could get offended, amen, and quit church, amen, the devil will make sure that you have a good reason to quit. The devil will make sure that you have a good reason to quit church. Can I get a witness? I expected it in the world, but when it comes up on you from, amen, a Sunday punch, if you please, from a saint of God, or a preacher hurts your feelings and rubs you wrong, it's easy for the enemy to use that and try to whisper into your ear, it's time that you quit going to the church house. It's time that you quit going to the house of God. But I just rose up into this pulpit tonight to tell you that our God ain't never done us wrong. Our God ain't never done us nothing but good. Can I get a witness? And I want you to know, and I serve notice right now, there ain't nothing you can do to me that's going to change the relationship that I have with my Jesus Christ. You can talk about me. You can scandalize my name. But the one brother said, I'm running on with Jesus just the same. I wish I could get some help up in here. I said, I'm running on with Jesus. I'm running on with Jesus. Talk about me. Talk about me. Lie to me. Amen. Come against me, but greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. And I want to remind somebody, if you've got the favor of God, if you've got the anointing of God, amen, you can pull down strongholds. You can have the anointing that will destroy the yoke of bondage and sin. Don't let people get you down. I've often used this example, this analogy, if you please. If while I'm visiting here at Norwich Tabernacle, Brother John, my good friend, was to say something bad about me or talk about me or be mean to me, do you dare think or surmise that I'm going to get on that airplane and fly back home to Clarksville, Tennessee, and tell my wife of 16 years, it's over? I'm leaving you, baby. I'm walking out on you. I'm packing my bags and I'm leaving you and my three boys. To her dismay and surprise, she would say, what in the world has gotten into you? Well, Brother John talked about me at church when I was preaching in Norwich, Connecticut. And he talked about me and he hurt my feelings and he offended me. Dana will look at me and say, have you done lost your mind? I need to slap you in your bald head. What's the matter? What in the world does Brother John's actions have to do with yours and mine marriage and relationship? You heard me, but you ain't listening. What does John's attitude or John's things that he would believe or say or even accuse or betray, what does that have to do with your marriage to me and your relationship with me and your marriage and relationship and the family that God has given? You say, what are you preaching? I'm preaching that when somebody talks about you, when somebody lies on you, when somebody betrays you, what does that have to do with your relationship between you and Jesus Christ? Absolutely nothing.
Amen.
Come on and clap your hands if you get the message.
Hallelujah.
Come on, somebody. If you're looking for a reason to quit church, the devil will give you one.
Yeah.
You'll get hurt in church. But if you've got bulldog faith tonight, I got a young man in my church that may be watching tonight. Amen. And I've tried to give him a few opportunities to leave and go other places. Because I told my people in Clarksville, the Lord's people, amen, that God so graciously sent into my life, I plan on spending my life with you. So if you're not serious, you might want to find another church.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. Well, we're not going to dress up. And let me say this. The Church of Champions is a non-denominational, Spirit-filled, God-led, Holy Ghost church. Amen. The day and the hour that we're living in, it's time that denominationalism and titles come down so the name of Jesus is lifted up. Come on, somebody, and shout amen. It's time the church gets real. We had a Bible study in my home, and we talked about life. We talked about real things, real living. And I said, this is really how the book of Acts shows the church going from house to house, breaking bread, sharing the word of God. Too many times we think, even because we're apostolic, we come to church and leave God here when we leave the building. But I rose to tell you, God needs to be with us 24/7. Not only on Sunday, but on Monday. And all the way through the week. Can I get a witness? But this young man, amen, Tuesday night he testified with tears coming up in his eyes and he said, I ain't got nowhere else to go. This is home for me, Shane. This is home for me, Pastor. Amen, that's the kind of people I want to work with. Amen, come on, are you sold out tonight? Are you going to let an offense take you out of church? Why would you let the hypocrite actions of another make you turn your back on Jesus? What does the actions of another have to do with your relationship with God?
Amen, amen, amen. That's right. That's right.
When I meet a backslider, when I meet somebody that used to go to church and they say, I don't go to church no more because of so-and-so. I say, you're a liar. You're a liar. You don't go to church no more because you willingly and willfully turn your back on the one that paid the ultimate price and died on an old rugged cross and was spat on and was tortured for your salvation. And you're going to let some bickering, and you're going to let, because somebody borrowed money and didn't pay you back, and you're going to let somebody, amen, run you out of church. Ain't no devil big enough to make me run out of church. Come on, you might as well help me, because the Holy Ghost is. I want you to know you need to have some bulldog tenacity faith here that says, come hell or high water, I'm not leaving the house of God. I'm not going anywhere. But in the house of the Lord, leprosy rose up in his forehead. He got bitter. He got offended. He got hurt. I wonder if somebody's listening to this preacher tonight and you've been hurt. See, if I had time tonight, I'm preaching on turning minuses into pluses. And my first point here is when Uzziah finally dies. When the offenses in your life finally die. When the bitter feelings in your heart finally are rid and they die. And it's dead and you're buried and you shout on it and you get it under your feet. Somebody help me preach. Amen. When the easily offended spirit dies. When the hurts die. Amen. When the betrayals die. When the lies that people have lied on you die. They can't hold you down. Come on, somebody. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Amen. Amen. You and your God are a majority. My Lord, if I ever felt like preaching, I feel like preaching here tonight. I feel like prophesying over you tonight. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Amen. Let them talk. Let them try to, amen, scandalize your name. I believe right now there's a preacher that's listening to this message. There's a man of God that's listening to this anointed message that heaven has sent. Amen. Through this pulpit. And you've been lied on and you've been talked about. Amen. And people have tried, amen, to betray and scandalize your name. Amen. But the Holy Ghost is saying that these weapons that are coming against you shall not prosper and they will not take you down. You're not going down. Under, you're going over. Come on and give the Lord the best hand clap of praise you can give right now. I feel good. I feel good. I feel good. Got happy feet tonight. Feel my happy feet showing up.
Amen, brother.
Got hurt in church. Picture. Picture Uzziah. See, there's long-reaching effects if you allow the enemy to hurt you in church. The enemy lied to this man. Leprosy rose up in his forehead and he died a leper. But see, it doesn't stop there. It would be a tragedy if we talked about the death of Uzziah. He died a leper. But Brother John, it goes beyond that because there's long-reaching effects. There's generational curses that come with offenses. Picture here, and you can read in 2 Chronicles, Jotham, the 25-year-old son. He's 25 and he's a pretty good old boy. But he don't want to go to church. I wonder why, Jotham. I wonder why we can't get you to visit revival, Jotham. I wonder why we can't get you to visit the house of the Lord. Could it be that as a little boy, he looked up at the supper table and into the eyes of his father and said, Daddy, talk to me about those scars and that leprosy. Were you born a leper? Were you born with leprosy? Were you born? Is that how God made you? And instead of Uzziah being a good man and a godly man and a man that he should have and could have been, and he could have said, son, Let me tell you a story. Your daddy made a mistake. Your daddy failed. And I allowed hurts and offenses. And I allowed myself to get bitter in the house of the Lord. Don't blame it on the preacher Uzziah. Don't blame it on the ministry. It's you. It's not my brother. It's not my sister. But it's me, oh God. Standing in the need of prayer. But no. No, Uzziah would not do that. He blamed the church, maybe. Blamed the pastor, maybe. Blamed the preacher or the saint. Yeah. And that little boy looked up into the eyes of his father, and no doubt he made up his mind right there at a tender age. If daddy went to church and got hurt there, I ain't never going to go to church. If they did this to daddy at church, I don't. That's why when you invite a sinner and they cop an attitude, I ain't going to that church. Oh, you're Pentecostal? No, I ain't going to that church. No. That's why you feel those vibes when you invite certain people, because they've had bad experiences. Amen. You know the number one bad experience that happens in Pentecost? Visitors come in, and then saints that's on the pews try to start telling that visitor how he or she should live, how he or she should dress. You might as well help me, because God decided he was going to. That's not up to you, church. That's not up to the laity. It's not up to the laity to try to pastor, amen, visitors that come and get in the altar. Amen. Keep your mouth off of these visitors. Keep your mouth off of people. Let the man of God deal with them. Let the Holy Ghost. Oh, you heard me, but you ain't listening. You ain't helping me tonight. Don't you worry about how they look. It's not up to you to tell them all the do's and the don'ts. Amen. Many a visitor's been hurt. Many a visitor has been wounded because of a lack of wisdom and a lack of knowledge. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. You let the man of God deal with them. It's your job to pray for them. It's your job to fast for them. It's your job to create an atmosphere in the house of the Lord where they can receive a miracle. Where they can receive a divine healing. Where they can receive a divine touch from God Almighty. Can somebody help me up here tonight? And Jotham would not go to church. And Jotham's son Ahaz would not go to church. He shut the doors, locked it up, and threw away the vessel. The long-reaching effects. If I don't live for God, what's going to happen to my sons, Dakota, Zane, and baby Shane? If I don't make the right decisions, what's going to happen to the next generation of West boys? Come on, somebody. You need to realize these decisions that you're making are doors of destiny, and they swing on little bitty hinges called decisions. God, anoint our minds to make the right decision. Anoint us, God. But you see, this first night, before I get to how you turn a minus into a plus, before I get to how you go from tragedy to triumph, or being the victim to becoming the victor, before I get there, I got to talk about when Uzziah dies. Because I rose to tell you, before you could have great revival in your life, before you could have a move of God, as God desires you to have, there's some Uzziahs that need to die. We need to get rid of all of our bitterness. We need to get rid of all of our unforgiveness. We need to forsake all of our critical spirits, our attitudes, because somebody did us wrong. We need to get a healing of our leprosy. We need to let that leprosy die before God can move in this church in the capacity that God wants to move. We got to let the Uzziahs die, the offenses die, the bitterness die. Hell, come on, somebody, and help me right now. I wish the church would start being real. Tucking our Bibles under our arms and going to church, looking the part. You know what a lot of us are in Pentecostal churches? We're brand new Corvettes with no gas. We look good, we look sharp, but we ain't going very far. Because we're full of dead men's bones. We got bitterness. We come to church, won't shake a brother's hand, won't shake a sister's hand. Ministry's bitter at ministry. Saints bitter at saints. And all the time we act like it's just business as usual. Going through the motions. That's why sometimes there's no birth. If I'm preaching to a man of God and there's no birth in your altars, maybe you and the church are just going through motions of marriage. Like a man and a wife going through the motions of a marriage and never having any children. Going through the motions of worship and praise and shouting and dancing, but never having any birth. But when Uzziah dies, look at somebody and say, when Uzziah dies. Come on, say it again. When Uzziah dies.
When Uzziah dies. Hallelujah. Amen.
I felt led of the Lord to share this, and I'm quickly closing. I have been, up until September, an evangelist for 16 years, full time. And in the course of that evangelistic endeavor, Pastor, I've preached camp meetings and conferences and youth camps and fellowship meetings and seminars and banquets, youth rallies. And many a time I preached with my own issues. Many of time you've come to church and nobody knows, but you've got all these issues. Somebody say, but when Uzziah dies, when the issues are solved and there's closure, when hurts are resolved and there's burial, when Uzziah, when offenses finally die. And I was out, I just preached a big meeting and I was out watering some shrubs in our yard. And the Lord spoke to me. I know that blows some of y'all's theology that God could speak outside of church, but He could speak to you outside of church. And God spoke to me, Brother John, and He said, are you a Christian? Am I a Christian? What kind of crazy question is that, God? Have you lost your mind? Don't you know I've got general license with the United Pentecostal Church? God said, who? And there's a lot of folks out there that think you've got to be in the United Pentecostal Church to be saved. If that's the case, the church wasn't born until after the 1900s when the United Pentecostal Church was founded. But my Bible goes back to the book of Acts. That's when my church was. What do you mean, am I a Christian? I'm an evangelist. God said, who? What? You're throwing titles at me. You're throwing denominations at me. I'm asking if you're Christ-like. Well, you know I am, Lord. And God said, well, if you're like me, when was the last time you spoke to your grandmother? Oh, now God, that's hitting way beneath the belt. That's a Sunday punch, God, and it ain't even Sunday. Because, God, you know how my grandmother did me. God, you was there when my father, at his funeral after being murdered, weeping and crying, I watched my grandmother take a flag off of his casket. And instead of handing me the flag, because of money and greed, she handed the flag to an older half-brother that had not spoken to my father in nearly 8 years. Openly and publicly would call my father a drunk and disown my father. And all through my father's life, he would He would say, if I die with anything, whatever I got, it goes to my son, Shane. Really, he's the only boy I know. My other boy disowned me, would curse my father's name. My father was murdered and died with $5 $1 bills in his wallet. That's what my father left me after 53 years of living. And when she took that flag, it was only a flag. But that flag I wanted one day to hand to my son. I did not even have children at this time. But this flag could be put on my wall, something that my father left behind because of his patriotic service to the United States Army. And I watched that flag get handed to a half-brother that hardly knew my father. And for some reason, Pastor, that cut as deep or deeper than the fact that my father got murdered. Because family did that to me. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And I watched her, and as she did, I wept and I sobbed. And I said, I'll never speak to her again. An apostolic preacher, disfellowshipping a grandmother that had never been to a Pentecostal church. I'll never speak to her again. Yeah, there's people listening right now. You know, there's people you won't even speak to. How sayest the love of Christ dwelleth in you? I said, God, she never asked forgiveness. And the Lord spoke and said, why don't you be a better Christian than that? Why don't you forgive her without her begging for your forgiveness? You see, God said, son, you were done wrong. I was there when they did you wrong. Just as I was there when Joseph was done wrong by his brothers. But God said, even though you've done wrong, because of your reaction to their action, you are wrong. See, you could be done wrong and yourself be wrong. Boy, it's getting quiet in here. And that's all I had to hear. I ran into the house and looked up my grandmother's phone number. And when I called her, she began to weep and cry. And she said, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And I wept with my grandmother. And I said, Grandma, you've got great grandsons that you've never met. But Grandma, we'll come out there and we're going to put these great grandsons on your lap and we're going to be a family again. I feel a prophetic anointing upon me right now. God has given somebody divine favor to receive restoration of family, restoration of relationships. You might need to pick up a phone tonight. When hearing this broadcast, even when pondering these words of this evangelist tonight, you may need to pick up a phone or write a letter. Amen. You might not be able to receive words from him or her. Amen. That father that did you wrong. That uncle that abused you. Amen. That brother, that sister, that family member, that co-worker that betrayed your trust. They might not ever ask you to forgive them. But the Holy Ghost is saying that Uzziah's got to die. The offense has got to be buried. The unforgiveness has got to be buried in here tonight. So if they don't beg you to forgive, be a better Christian, be a bigger man, be a bigger woman, and forgive. And I said, Grandma, let's put this like water under a bridge. I forgive you, and I want you to forgive me. I preach camp meetings. I preach revival services. I preach to young people, and I saw the hand of God move, but all the time a root of bitterness, amen, had been found in my spirit towards my grandmother. You can be hurt in church and go to hell from a church pew. And I flew my children to Fresno, California, and I was with my grandmother, and we embraced, we hugged, and we cried and we prayed together.
Amen.
And I'm closing. Look at somebody and say, when Uzziah dies.
When Uzziah dies.
Pastor, I want to publicly acknowledge that a great man of God has played a vital role in my life. Pastor by the name of Norman Pasley in Cincinnati, Ohio. Brother Pasley had a man call me after I shared that testimony in his congregation. Brother John can bear witness. I've had the privilege of having John in my home and in my office. And he's seen it. This man called and he said, I'm so-and-so from the United States Army. And I heard your testimony of how you forgave your grandmother after you lost that flag. After it appeared that the enemy stole that flag out of your grip. And I've been walking around for weeks wondering, what can I do to help that man of God? And he said, Brother Shane, if you'll bring your family back to Cincinnati in December, and this was some time ago, he said, but if you'll come back, I've made arrangements with the Color Guard of the United States Army to give your father a full military memorial service. And we're going to present to you the flag that the enemy has stolen. And I went to that church and I saw the color guard come in. The color guard in the United States Army with their bagpipes and lieutenant colonels and different ranking officials. And they marched in with a flag. And then to my surprise, I heard a 21-gun salute. Amen. As it was being heard from the parking lot of the Calvary Pentecostal Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. 21-gun salute and a military official that got up and honored my father. And then to my surprise, his taps was being played. Amen. Those soldiers folded that American flag. And I saw, amen, an army officer get down on his knee and say, the enemy took the first flag, but it's the proud action and it's my privilege on behalf of the United States Army to present to you, Shane West, with a flag in honor of your father, Carl West. What the enemy meant for bad, God turned for good. Come on, you heard me, but you ain't helping me. And God will do that for you. He'll take this situation that's bad and turn it to the good. Oh, what they took was a flag from a funeral home, but God had something better for me. God gave my father a military memorial, and I got a flag from the United States Army. Come on, somebody. But I'd have never had that revival. I'd have never had that flag if at first I would not have forgiven my grandmother. You see, Uzziah has got to die before you can turn your minuses into pluses. The bitterness, the hurt, the unforgiveness, the pain, the sorrow, the shame, it's got to die so God can resurrect a new thing. Stand to your feet right now. Raise your hands towards heaven. Somebody praise Him wherever you're at. Whatever you're doing at this moment right now, I want you to praise your God. Oh, Jesus. Come on, somebody help me. Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice tonight. Father, in Jesus' name, help us to forgive. Give us revival, God. Give us revival, God. Give us an outpouring. Oh, God, help us, help us, help us. Help us, help us, help us, help us. Help us, help us. Let Uzziah die. Help us to forgive that one that we've harbored unforgiveness towards and bitterness towards. Help us, God, to take an initiative. Because, God, if we take one step, we know that you'll take two, God. Help us to take that step to forgive. Did not God say, pray according and along this wise, Father, forgive us as we forgive those that trespass? Not talking about a specified time, forgive us as we forgive, but talking about a measure. If we forgive greatly, God, you'll forgive greatly. Help us to forgive others in a great measurement, because we know that you'll forgive us as we forgive others. If you forgive not, you might not receive forgiveness yourself. I'm preaching to somebody right now. The Holy Ghost is putting crosshairs on a situation. Forgive. Forgive. Yeah, you was done wrong. They did you wrong. He did you wrong. But you're wrong for how you've been. You're wrong because you're not forgiving. And when we stand before God, we will have no excuse.